This is the October 24th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 30 for property ID 619-11000. The property is owned by Philip Andrew Klein. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present from the assessor's office, but we do have Mr. Klein here for the appellant. If you could please raise your right hand now to be sworn in.
Okay. Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2024. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome. And you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions on procedures, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Sure. No questions on procedure. So I was just confused on how, you know, the value of my property was assessed for January 1st of 2024. When I was looking at, you know, even the assessor's letter saying, like, what the average increases in property values in my area were, it was stated to be roughly, you know, 5%. I don't have exact figures on me, so I'll speak in generalities there. And then when I look at my specific property, I think the increase totaled like 15%. So I'm just failing to see how my property in particular would have increased in value three times what the average was, given that my property isn't all that unique as far as I'm aware or concerned. It's not that modern. It's a 123-year-old house, I think, now. There have been renovations over the years, but nothing significant in the last probably 10. And, you know, there are things like the roof that needs to get replaced soon, that's pretty kind of old and worn down. HVAC system is getting towards the end of the life. One of my back fences is blown down. So there's a lot of things like that that would negatively impact the value of the property if I were to go to market and sell it, you know, today. So I'm not sure if there's some consideration in there, given the fact that it's zoned community commercial technically instead of like the normal residential. But when I kind of looked at everything, I looked over the assessor's report, I saw some of the comps that they were using, and it seemed to me like most of the comps that they were doing in the downtown area were for properties that were either significantly more modern or just frankly in better locations. You know, things where it's like more centered in like the Howe Hughes neighborhood, Carter Park, things like that. And my property lies directly on Fourth Plain across from an empty lot, a flat pantry next to a defunct bar now. And you constantly got traffic from the port, like big rigs going right in front of the house, which would definitely not be attractive to a lot of buyers. There's frankly a ridiculous amount of road noise if you're anywhere except for like downstairs in the basement. So given all of those things, my request was that, you know, the assessment does go up. I think that's valid, but not at 15%. I think it'd be more appropriate for it to go up to closer to the average of 5% that the assessor, you know, said was in their letter as the average and everything.
You know, unfortunately, you didn't provide us with any comparable properties that we could use for comparison. I don't know when you pulled this, if you pulled your appeal off online, there's a worksheet that goes along with it where you provide comparable properties that you think are more appropriate to compare to your home than what the assessor gave us. And without having any of that information, it's hard for us to make an adjustment. If you appeal again next year, you should find properties that you feel are comparable to yours. Maybe ones that are close to you, that are on, right on Fourth Plain, that, you know, have the noise and some of the other factors going on.
And the problem is, there's not really a lot of properties that are in that same situation. Even when I bought it, I was talking to my real estate agent, and this was 2 years ago. My real estate agent, the seller's agent, it was all kind of up in the air because in that particular spot, there is one other residence that's right next door, and that I don't think has been sold for like 20 years. And there's nothing else like right in that pocket that's actually residential.
I have a quick question for you.
Yeah.
I see you bought the property for $455,000 in September of 22. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And have you done any remodeling or updating since then?
The only thing that I've done was I replaced two exterior doors, and I think those cost me like $1,500 with install and everything. So other than that, the only things that are new in there since I bought it is like a new fridge, and then I bought a washer and dryer. But other than that, I haven't put any money into it.
Okay.
And my fence is my next thing, but that blew down like 3 months after I bought it. So like my whole back fence with my back neighbor's property line is currently still on the ground, just completely blown down. What's still standing is all rotted. I don't think that fence has been replaced in 30, 35 years.
I don't have any other questions.
I'll just reiterate what Lisa said. You have to get something quantitative for us to be able to evaluate and make an adjustment. And that typically is with comparable properties that have, you know, similar features that, you know, not only physical features of the house, but physical features of the property itself that cause you to believe it should be worth less. If you bought it in 2022 for $455,000, then it's not unthinkable that it would be at the price, at the values being assigned it now, because 2022 was a big year and 2023 was kind of a flat year, but still did have some increase.
Yeah, I mean, it was 2022, but it was right at the end of 2022 when I bought it. I actually got really lucky on the rate that I got, but that was like right at the tail end of when they were increasing. The Fed rate and mortgage rates went up all the way to, you know, 7-8%, and right when that happened, that cooled. I mean, I work with dozens of real estate agents, and talking to them, like, I feel like I've got a pretty good sense of how the real estate market goes, because I typically see how much, you know, they're wheeling and dealing and then getting in. Everyone said, like, yeah, I know, like, things have been pretty stagnant for the most part. I mean, there's still growth in the county and everything with people moving into it from Oregon, California, Texas, et cetera, but the mortgage rates really have, you know, increased right around that point and cooled things significantly over how hot it was in 2020, 2021, 2022, at least for the first half of 22. So in the future, I guess my question is, would, like, looking at comps, would having, like, my real estate agent do, like, a CMA report or something like that help? I guess would that be the right route to go?
Well, that does help because the real estate agent can pull properties that are similar and that they would say in the marketplace. So that is something that helps, yes.
Okay. Okay, I'll make a note to do that in the future.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, is that everything?
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, perfect. Thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
This is the October 24th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves petition number 32 for property ID 98606-1493. The property is owned by Walter and Wendy Killenan. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present from the assessor's office and no one present for the appellant. The property was purchased for $658,217 in 2023, and the assessor's evidence included a property information card and a cover letter recommending the assessed value be reduced to $658,217. I will turn it over to Chairman Daniel Weaver.
Since there was no information, and no one present for either party, will make a decision based on information available. Any questions?
No questions.
Close the hearing.
This is the October 24th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. Before us, we will be reviewing late files submitted to the Clark County Board of Equalization. The first one we have is a late filing good cause request from Ivan Perella. It is for the property U.S. Centennial Vancouver Mall, LLC, property ID 16025300. They used Reason G that states the taxpayer was not, or they wrote, the taxpayer was not sent the COV or the notice of value as the values of this parcel had not changed from the previous year. Reason G on that form reads, the taxpayer was not sent a change of value notice under RCW 8440045 for the current assessment year and can demonstrate the property value did not change from the previous assessment year, which they did show on their petition.
I guess we should hear it then.
What does COV stand for?
Change of value notice.
Oh, okay.
They just wrote it differently.
What do they call it?
They called it the COV notice, so I think they meant change of value notice, but we usually just refer to it as the NOV, the notice of value.
Yeah. Okay.
Alrighty. And that is our only late file currently.
Okay. So we can talk.
This is the October 24th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 31 for property ID 18937200. The property is owned by Craig and Haley Pierce. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. We do have Jason Arbery here on behalf of the assessor's office, and we do have Craig Pierce here for the appellant. If you could both now please raise your right hands to be sworn in.
You swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury.
I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2024. Keep in mind, the assessor has a presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions on procedure, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Sounds good. So, yeah, this is the third year in a row that our land value has been almost doubled just from the assessor's value for year over year. We provided a geotech study that was done when we built the house back in 2015. It shows that basically the land that we're on right now, the entire parcel is 6 acres, but we are on the only buildable home site. It's not developable. The land next to us is being developed, but they're all small lots. There's a very large drop-off down to Cougar Creek on the edge of our land, and then most of it is still wooded and down in the riparian zone as well. We don't believe that the value has doubled by any means, and we're just asking that it be brought back down to the same level. The structure itself went down in value, but we're not even asking for a decrease in value, just at least it to stay the same.
Did you get the information from the assessor?
I got an updated. I asked for the comps at some point, and I got sent to a website. I looked at those, and then I got an updated set not too long ago with different ones. But most of them were not even in Vancouver. A lot of them were in Ridgefield. So I didn't know how applicable those were either.
You got the letter from them then dated September 23rd?
I believe so. One second. I believe so, yes. I don't have it right in front of me, but yes, I believe we did.
Well, I just want to make sure that you read what they have said about your property. The characteristics of the property, there's 0.08 acres flat, 2.9 acres of rolling, 2.25 acres of steep, and 0.79 acres of lowlands. You see it on the screen. There's that kind of middle paragraph.
Yeah.
And that's the way they have valued your property, and they should have valued it year to year, year over year in the same way. And the only two buildable, I mean, obviously the 0.0 acres of flat and the 2.9 acres of rolling generally can be built on the steep property in the lowlands. There's generally wetlands, but it's generally not able to be built on.
And a good chunk of that 2.9 still falls within that riparian zone, so we can't build on it anyway.
So there's no other place to build a home on the property?
Nope, we're in the one spot, and then our backyard, which is our septic tank, is just over an acre, and it's not big enough, and it goes right up to the edge of the riparian zone.
Yeah.
Have you talked to the assessor's office directly about any of this already, or no?
I mean, I responded immediately after we get it, and I've called twice in the last 2 years. I've asked if there's any way that we can put a note so that we don't have to have the same meeting every year. But I haven't gotten anywhere from there.
And you haven't really talked to anybody about it?
I haven't actually talked to a person, no.
Maybe let's hear from the assessor and see what they have to say.
Well, good morning, everyone. Thanks for having me here again today. What I would like to just go over really quickly, obviously the information that was supplied to the county was supplied at 12 o'clock on the last day to submit evidence, so there was no way to respond directly to the appellant in regards to his submitted information that I received.
I submitted the day that we were sent our notice. I can pull up the email. Hold on. I didn't send it on the last day by any means.
So what I'd like to go over really quickly is just go over this for your behalf. The county has not placed any value on this property in anticipation of subdividing the property. There are no codes that are adding value to the land attached to this account. It is the county's understanding that this site, beyond its current development, will remain within the whole site as is. We consider the land surplus land, which adds, a buffer zone, a natural wildlife habitat. It's a nice thing to have on your property, as it gives you space. It allows for natural species to be there. We do not assume this property is subdividable into multiple lots. We, in fact, our system indicates that we remove this parcel from prime land, which is what would be a stage of anticipating future development on the site in 2015 when it was purchased and then developed. On top of that, we backdated that a whole year to 2014. So that property has not been valued as prime land or with any potential for development since 2014. Again, I'll point out, you already brought this up and showed it on the screen. We are valuing that property in four different categories. We're valuing it on rolling, flat, steep, and low, which all have a different price per acre and a different value. We do understand 100% that the home site that is developed is the only site on that property that will support a home as currently developed. There is no indication that other portions of the property can't be used for something other than a home, a constructed home. However, it is, as is, undeveloped, and it's an addition to the yard. I wanted to also touch, because I don't think we've ever touched on this in the last few years since he submitted this geotechnical service from Redmond's. I read through this like 5 or 7 times to try to figure out what it really meant to me. And I mean, I'm reading through it and it says site description, topography, the upper northwest portion of the subject site is characterized as relatively flat, lying to gentle sloping terrain, less than 15% steep. However, the central, southerly, and or easterly portions of the subject property are characterized as moderately steep slopes, 25% to 40%, descending downward to the east and towards the Cooper Creek, with overall site elevation approximately 95 feet. Existing site features and or surface topography suggests that the subject property is near to its natural site grade and has not been previously cut or filled. The surface conditions. The exploratory test holes revealed that the site is underlain by native soil deposits comprised of a superficial layer of topsoil materials ranging in depth from 12 to 18 inches, in turn underlined by medium stiff to medium dense, slightly clay, sandy silt to silty. And so all soils encountered on this site were classified in accordance with the United States classification system. As previously noted, there is no identification of fault beneath this site. However, hidden or deep-seated active faults could remain undetected. In addition, recent crustal seismic activity cannot always be tied to observed faults. In the event that a catastrophic earthquake with a large seismic moment, inactive faults could, I mean, it's not on a fault. It's just saying it's not, you know, there's no seismic issue. Then they go down to their conclusion and they say, our review of available geographic maps, examination of historic aerial photography and LIDAR imagery, as well as our site reconnaissance, found no evidence of landslides at and or immediately adjacent to the subject property. The closest known map and or suspected landslide area is located approximately 3/4 mile to the north of the subject property, along the north flanks of Salmon Creek. As such, it appears that the inclusion of the subject property in the potential slope hazard mapping for Vancouver and or County is based solely on the existing site topography exceeding a slope gradient of 15%. In this regards, we are of the opinion that the site is recently stable and that the planned construction of the new single-family residence home as its associated site improvements will have no negative impact on the slope stability of the subject site or of the adjacent sites and or properties. And then, I can go forward and it says, you know, recommendations, but I don't want to read paragraph for paragraph for you. You guys can read it as well. But I went through this with a fine tooth comb and I can't find anywhere in there it says that this property it is unstable, it's not able to be built. The land is being treated just like any other land valued in that acreage. It is not with any potential for development. It is supported with the comparables that I put of similar properties that are all located with similar aspects of the property. You cannot find the exact five exact comparables within a half mile of this property. You have to expand the search to be able to find quality comparables that relate to the property. Now, going from his site size all the way up to 10 acres, which is a comparable, there's a significant difference, and that can't be disregarded. A property that's 2.5 acres or 1.5 or 3.5 is not the same as a 10-acre site, okay? If you want to use comparables that are reasonable, they would have to be within 5 acres or less to be comparable. I did include one 10-acre site just to go along with the flow that was introduced to us. But, again, I don't have anything else to really point out other than the site is developed. It's a great site. It's not planned to be subdivided. We're not valuing it as if it has potential for future development. And I rest.
Can you explain why it went from 286 up to 498?
Well, I'm going to have to go in. I don't have the let me pull that up real quick here. Give me a second. Well, I know that part of it is due to the stipulation falling off because they're only good for valid for 1 year.
A stipulation or a BOE?
A BOE, when it's finalized, Washington state law allows us to only
have that. No, I understand that. Was there a BOE decision on this the prior year?
Yes.
Correct. Yes. There has been for 2 years in a row. Yes, 2 years in a row. But I think the one thing that that has been different is, one, we haven't shown up, and that's our own fault. But two, nobody has probably taken the time to read, I know on our side, has taken the time to read through that entire Redmond report. And it for the sound of the property, it doesn't seem like there's anything wrong with the property other than, you know, it's got riparian, it's got wetlands, and all the comparables that I supplied are exactly the same. They got riparian, they've got all these other factors involved. But let me look. You had asked me a question, and let me just take a look so that I don't forget that and answer your question correctly.
Yeah, because you still haven't answered it. So
no, yeah, right. Yes, thank you.
And I'd like to state, I submitted evidence on August 22nd, and it was accepted on August 22nd.
Thank you for correcting me on that.
Maybe he didn't look at it until the day before, but you had it in plenty of time.
Exactly.
So the land value, Dan, got reduced by the Board of Equalization in 2023. It was originally assessed at $498,051 in 2023, but the BOE reduced it to $286,286.
So, and that's where it was the year before.
Yeah.
Yes, and that's what's that. So the giant jump is because it's been held down for 3 years, and then it removed and it trended back to normal as all other properties. Once the BOE falls off, you guys are totally aware that it gets trended with the other land.
Is there a reduction in property value for riparian status?
The only way that we put something on there for that is if it prevents the site from being developed. If the site is completely undevelopable because of riparian or species habitats, then absolutely we would put something on there for
it. But it is undevelopable because of those things.
But the site is developed. The property is developed to the best of its highest and best use. It's developed to a residence with
on 8/10 of an acre, but all the rest of it is undevelopable.
How can I say this? There's no indication that it is completely unbuildable. There's no statement anywhere that I could find in any that it's unbuildable. There are portions of the property that are covered and have the zones over them, including the site where his house is located, and it was developable.
You just said at first that you agreed that all the rest of it was totally undevelopable, and that's the way you had it in there. And now you're saying I think part of it might have been developable. So
we're mincing words here. Let me clarify what I'm saying, and I apologize if I the entire site, the 6.02 acre site, if it was completely undevelopable, there would be a code on that site saying this is undevelopable, that has no potential for development. But the site, the entire 6.02 acre site, is now built out to its highest potential, which is a single family residence and surplus land that is a buffer zone for other properties. They can't build within that zone. Nobody can. Now, what I'm saying is the site with those buffers may not be able to develop another house. It may not support another septic system, but there are other structures or temporary structures that could be put on the site and be used in the meantime. I'm not saying that we ever expect that site to be subdivided and multiple houses built on it. What we're saying is it's usable. It's usable to the owner of the house, and it supports the type of environment that the house was purchased in. It was purchased for 6.02 acres to have excess land. They never, I mean, there was never, according to this, there's no intent of ever developing any other portion of the site because of the slopes.
And the riparian area and so on.
That's in that area, correct. That's where that area falls, is in those excess acres, all the way down to the river. And it gets stronger. If you look at the map, the closer you get to the river, it gets stronger. And I'm not saying...
John's got a question.
Yeah, I guess I'm just wondering, have you ever walked on the site and looked at it, or is this all kind of from just reading the report and looking at aerial photos and other maps? Has anyone ever really looked at it to see?
An appraiser was on site inspecting the property and measuring the house. Now, I wasn't there. So I don't know if they took the time and walked the rest of the property. My assumption would be probably not. And I don't mean that to be negative towards the assessor's office, but we go out there, we look at the house, we measure the house, we take pictures of the house, we look at the property, we may take a picture of the excess land. But unless there's some reason to walk down to the river, like if there's a building, we wouldn't normally do that.
I only ask that because I am familiar with the area along Canyon Creek, Cougar Creek, down to Salmon Creek. That's awfully steep canyon, and I just wonder when you say, well, okay, you've got this additional land, but I don't know what you'd ever do with it. It's a buffer, but you don't really necessarily need a buffer because the creek is in there in the bottom and the canyon. So, I mean, I guess I don't really see what other utility could be put for that land, the hillside that it is, the potential for slide and whatever else, because it's so blooming steep. But
yeah, according to the county's own maps, they're showing it that way.
I'm not in any disagreement with you folks that the property is slanted. I can see it very clearly from the LIDAR and mm-hmm. and other maps. I mean, I understand that. And all I'm saying is the comparables that I used are very similar to the property. They have the same kind of overlays, and they were only partially developable with exactly what's on those properties as of now. Excess land or surplus, well, it's not excess because it can't be sold, but the surplus land that's out there, you know, it's a buffer zone, and that's all I can say. And yes, is it necessary? Probably not. Is it a nice bonus? Probably so, but that's not for me to determine. All I'm saying is I try to value it the best we can. I don't think that there's a way for us on our end other than this process to be able to change the land value based on the way we're valuing it with all the different features already there. I mean, we have basically low water limit, almost, you know, little over 3/4 of an acre. We've got steep at 2.25 and then rolling at 2.9. We only have 0.08 acres as flat, so
That's why I don't understand the almost $300,000 increase.
Well, it's just not. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Well, the difference. I mean, obviously, it's been held down for multiple years to a more than equals its value. when it goes and hits back to the market value, it goes back to the current year.
I don't know if it's been held down or if it's been reasonably valued. We don't try to hold things down. We try to put a reasonable value on them. So we're not there to hold things down.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say that land value hasn't increased from year to year to year. I mean, I'm not in
23, where there was 0% increase in land value. Your assessor told us that. So
the 0%.
I don't have any further questions.
I don't have any other questions on it either.
Can you tell me what the 0.08 is valued at, and put what the 2.9 is valued at? What rate per acre?
Yes. The home site, the 0.08 acres is valued at $94,469 per acre, for a value basically of $7,558.
Okay.
Now, the rolling, which is the 2.9, is also calculated at the $94,469, and that amounts to $273,960. And then the steep, I can go over the steep. I know you didn't ask for this, but you might want the whole picture.
Yes.
The steep is 66,128 and a total of 148,788 in that value process. And then the very last is the 0.79 acres that's at $75,575 per acre.
And what is that? Is that the one that's underwater or riparian, or what? Which one is that?
It is. It's definitely. I mean, I think that the steep and the low are in the riparian, if I'm not mistaken. So, yes, I don't think the low is like below water level. It's to the water level, and water can, I would assume, would, you know, in heavy months.
So the steep and riparian that can be not be used at all are valued at
$148,000. Well, that and the 59,704. So yes, that's the lowlands.
Okay.
It ends up being a blended rate of $81,397 per acre.
Okay.
So the rolling part of the property would be considered buildable. Is that what you're saying?
No,
if it were otherwise unrestricted.
Yes, correct. But it's restricted, so I'm not trying to imply that.
Well, you valued it.
I understand. It's restricted
because
it's a riparian. So.
Okay. You valued it at the same rate as you valued the home site.
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah. So do I.
Correct.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Anything else from the appellant?
No, I think you got it all from me.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hear from us within 30 days.
Sounds good. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Close the hearing.
This is the October 24th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves petition number 26 for property ID 10802712828. The property is owned by Vasil and Yana Sulikov. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present from the assessor's office and no one present for the appellant. No detailed quantitative information was provided by the appellant for board review. and the assessor's evidence included 3 comparable sales, a property information card, and a cover letter recommending no change to the assessed value. I will turn it over to Chairman Daniel Weaver.
Since there's no one present for either party, we'll make a decision based on information available. Any questions?
No questions.
No questions.
Close the hearing.